All right, so we're diving into some pretty mind-bending stuff today.
Oh yeah, definitely mind-bending.
We're talking about the pangenome.
Right, the pangenome.
All the genetic differences we see between individuals within a species. And get this.
Okay.
We're going to be looking at how quantum mechanics can help us analyze all of that.
Wow. Using quantum mechanics to analyze the pangenome. That's ambitious.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild idea, right?
Yeah.
But it really highlights how much genomic data is out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our classical computers are already struggling to keep up with it all.
Exactly. So that's where all this material you've collected comes in.
Yeah. All this research about quantum computing and how it could revolutionize pangenome informatics is fascinating stuff.
Yeah. And we're going to try to break it all down.
Right. Cut through the jargon.
And really see what's important for you, the listener.
Absolutely. No need to get bogged down in the technical weeds.
Right. So what are the big takeaways here?
I think the biggest thing is that quantum computing could offer some real breakthroughs in pangenome analysis.
Okay.
We're talking about solutions to problems that classical computers just can't handle.
And where are those problems exactly?
Well, it all comes down to the scale and complexity of pangenome data.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. Aligning all those genetic sequences, identifying every tiny variation.
And then putting it all together in a way that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. It's a huge computational challenge.
One of the articles you sent talked about a De Bruijn graph.
Okay.
And compared it to like a giant tangled subway map.
Oh, I like that.
Trying to find the best route through all those lines.
Right. It gets exponentially harder as the map gets bigger and more complex.
And that's what our classical algorithms are dealing with right now.
Yeah. They just weren't built for this level of complexity.
So how does quantum computing offer a different solution?
Well, it uses entirely different principles to approach these problems. So for example, let's go back to that subway map analogy. We want to find the best alignment path through a De Bruijn graph. There's this algorithm called QAOA, the Quantum Approximate Optimization Algorithm.
QAOA.
QAOA. It's really cool.
Okay.
Imagine instead of looking at each route step by step, you could encode all the possible routes as different energy levels in a quantum system.
Wait, so each route has its own energy level?
Yeah. And what QAOA does is it guides the system to settle into the lowest energy states.
Oh, I see.
Those lowest energy states correspond to the best routes through the graph.
So it's finding the most efficient paths without having to check them one by one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's leveraging this principle called quantum parallelism, where the quantum system can essentially explore all those possibilities at the same time.
That's wild. So it's like that super smart compass we were talking about.
Yes. It's seeing the entire landscape at once.
And finding the best path.
Exactly. It's fundamentally different from how a classical computer works.
Okay. So that's one way quantum computing could be used.
Right.
What about other bottlenecks in pangenome analysis?
Well, another big one is searching through those massive databases.
Right, like trying to find a specific camer, a short DNA sequence, in a gigantic haystack of data.
Yeah, it's like searching for a needle in a haystack. It can take forever.
And you mentioned something called Grover's algorithm for that.
Oh, yes. Grover's algorithm. That's another game changer.
You even called it quantum teleportation for search problems.
Well, it's kind of like that, right? I mean, it uses quantum interference to amplify the probability of finding the right answer and suppress all the wrong ones.
Oh, wow.
So it's not checking each entry one by one. It's more like the solution just pops out.
That's incredible. How much faster are we talking?
The speed up is quadratic. So for a database of a million sequences.
Okay.
Grover's algorithm could be about 1,000 times faster.
1,000 times faster. That's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. It could revolutionize how we search through genomic data.
Absolutely. Okay. So we've got QAOA for finding paths, Grover's algorithm for searching.
Right.
What about those complex alignment matrices you mentioned?
Ah, yes. That's another area where quantum computing could really shine.
Because classical algorithms often get stuck, right?
Yeah, they can fall into these local optima, like they find a good solution.
But not the best one.
Exactly. They get trapped because they can't see the bigger picture.
Okay.
But there's this approach called quantum annealing.
Quantum annealing.
It frames the problem as finding the lowest energy state in a landscape of all possible alignments.
Okay.
And the quantum processor can explore all of those configurations simultaneously.
So it's like it has a bird's eye view of the entire landscape.
Precisely. And it can even tunnel through energy barriers, which means it can escape those local optimal.
Oh, I see. So it's not getting stuck in those suboptimal solutions.
Exactly. Yeah. It's able to find the absolute best alignment.
That's amazing. But what about the limitations of current quantum computers?
Oh, yeah. Those are definitely real challenges.
Like the limited number of qubits, right?
Exactly. Qubits are the basic unit of quantum information.
Right.
And right now we just don't have enough of them to store a full pangenome.
Like trying to fit a whole library into a tiny shoebox?
Laughs. Yeah, something like that. But researchers are working on clever ways to overcome this.
Okay. Like what?
Well, one approach is quantum data compression.
Quantum data compression.
It takes advantage of the fact that a single qubit can exist in multiple states at once.
Right. Superposition.
Yeah. So a single qubit could potentially store information about multiple nucleotides.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
Right.
And for the repetitive parts of genomes.
Which is a lot of it.
Yes, exactly. For those parts, there's entanglement-assisted storage.
Entanglement, that's where qubits are linked together, right?
Exactly. So you can essentially store information about identical sequences across multiple entangled qubits.
Oh, so you don't need to store each copy separately.
Right. It's like a really efficient way to store redundant data.
That's really clever. But what about the error rates in these quantum systems?
Oh, yeah, that's another big hurdle.
Because even a small error in a quantum calculation could mess up the results. Oh,
definitely. Especially with something as sensitive as genomic data.
It's like introducing a typo into someone's genetic code.
Yeah, it's a big concern. So researchers are focusing on quantum error correction.
Quantum error correction.
And specifically for genomics, there's this approach called surface codes.
Surface codes?
It's basically arranging the qubits in a 2D grid, which helps to detect and correct errors.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like building in redundancy to protect against those errors.
Exactly. And there's also this growing trend of combining classical machine learning with quantum computing.
Oh, interesting. How does that work?
Well, you can use classical ML algorithms to predict when and where errors are most likely to happen in a quantum computation.
So it's like an early warning system.
Yeah. And then you can focus your error correction efforts on those critical regions.
That makes a lot of sense. But how will everyday biologists actually use these tools?
That's a great question. And the answer is they won't have to be quantum experts.
Oh, good.
The goal is to make these tools as accessible as possible.
Okay.
So, for example, there are people working on developing pre-built quantum modules for specific tasks.
Like plug-and-play quantum components.
Exactly. So if you need to do SNP detection,
You
could just use a quantum module for that.
And you wouldn't have to understand all the underlying quantum stuff.
Not necessarily. These modules would be integrated into familiar programming languages.
Okay, so it's like using any other bioinformatics tool.
Exactly. The goal is to make it seamless.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
But what about labs that already have established bioinformatics pipelines?
Right. Well, the idea is to integrate quantum methods into those existing pipelines.
So it's not a complete replacement?
No, it's more of a hybrid approach. You'd use classical methods for some steps.
And quantum computing for others.
Exactly. The quantum parts would be like turbocharging the pipeline.
That makes a lot of sense. So looking ahead, what's the roadmap for quantum genomics?
Well, in the next few years, we'll likely see these hybrid approaches being implemented and tested.
Okay.
Things like using Grover's algorithm to speed up blast searches, or quantum annealing to improve variant calling.
So basically proving that these quantum methods work in practice.
Exactly. And then as quantum computers get more powerful.
And less error prone.
Right. Then we can start thinking about more complex applications.
Like fully quantum native approaches.
Yes. Things like representing pangenome graphs as entangled quantum systems.
Wow.
And even using quantum computers to simulate evolution.
That's pretty mind-blowing. So how do we actually get there?
Well, a lot of the research right now is focusing on making qubits more efficient and error resistant.
Right.
And there's also a big push for education and collaboration.
Okay.
Things like quantum genomics boot camps and open source software tools.
To make it easier for people to get started.
Exactly. And what's really cool is that even the research into quantum algorithms is already leading to improvements in classical methods.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So even labs that aren't ready for quantum computing can still benefit from this work.
That's great. So it's a win-win.
It is. It's really an exciting time to be following this field.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So to sum it all up.
Yeah.
We've seen how quantum computing could revolutionize pangenome informatics.
It offers solutions to some really challenging problems.
Problems that classical computers just can't handle.
And while there are still technical challenges.
Right.
Researchers are making progress on multiple fronts.
With a clear focus on making these tools accessible to biologists.
Exactly.
So for you, the listener.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've gained a better understanding of this amazing field.
And how it could change the future of genomics.
And here's something to think about.
Okay.
If quantum computing unlocks the full potential of the pangenome, what new insights might we uncover?
About disease, evolution, and maybe even the nature of life itself.
It's a pretty incredible thought.
It is, and it's up to all of us to explore these possibilities.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
Until then.